and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Can we give a shout of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Turn to somebody next to you and say, we're going to work that word. Yes, there is power in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it is living and active, and it can change your situation and your circumstance. It can change your atmosphere. It can change the health of your body. There is nothing that can stand up against the word of God and prevail. John 14:11 says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works of my hands. How many of you want to see the evidence of our living King in this house today? If we look at Acts 2, it says when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Who's here today? Shout, I am. We are in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And those of other languages began to hear the word of God in their own language. And then Peter comes out later and he begins to tell them that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all mankind. How many of you know we are in the last days? And it says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. We serve a powerful, awesome, living God. Lord, you have full freedom to reign in this place today. Just as your word prophesies, let it be so, as our hearts long for you in this place. God of all powers, God of all might, God of all grace and mercy in this place, in the name of Jesus, we will see you move in this house. Amen.
How you guys doing today? How is His Tabernacle this morning? Come on, give God a shout. Give God a shout if you know He's an awesome God. Give God a shout if you know He's a good God. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Give God a shout. Come on.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him.
Come on, if He's been good, just sing.
I feel like praising Him.
Come on and sing it out.
I feel like praising Him. Oh.
Come on, just one more time, sing that out.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, yeah. So good to me.
Sing, I feel like. Come on, I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. Come on, clap your hands. Come on, just turn to your neighbor and tell them how good God has been. Come on, testify. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if he's been good, just turn to your neighbor and say, I feel like clapping.
I feel like clapping my hands.
Hallelujah.
I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like shouting for joy.
I feel like shouting for joy. I feel like shouting for joy. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like shouting for joy.
Come on, shout for joy, let's do it.
I feel like shouting for joy. I feel like shouting for joy. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like,
can we do something? Let's do our dance.
I feel like doing my dance.
Come on y'all, dance it out.
I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance.
Come on, let's do that again, dance for the Lord.
I feel like doing my dance.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good.
Just do your dance, do whatever you do. trouble.
Oh.
And all of the honor from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have won the victory. You are all free.
dead in my grave. Some people, the doctor spoke a word over you. And this is how you get your freedom. This is how you get him to win for your battles. See, it's not by you just standing there and not saying a word. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony that you win. So hallelujah, Lord, you won again.
Because of who love you, Lord.
Jehovah Nisi.
Yes.
Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom. My Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
I worship you, Jesus.
Yes, I worship you because of who Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Oh, come on. We got to sing it again. Come on. Worship him, worship him, worship him.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Ah, my God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good.
Lord,
Jesus.
I worship you
because of who you are. We honor you.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Come on, talk to him.
I worship you because of who you are.
It's not what he does that's magnificent. It's who he is. See, he loves you this morning. That's just his nature. He said, God is love. Some of you just feel disconnected from heaven, and I want you to know all you need to do is call upon his name. This morning, the anointing is thick in the room. The presence of God is strong in the room. And he does that because he wants his babies to know, his sons and his daughters to know that he loves you. This is not a separated relationship. But the way we stir the presence of God is worshiping him, which is different from praise. Praise is thanking him for what he's done. Worship him is thanking him for who he is. So I just want to do this, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I want you to bring it right out of your belly, right out of your spirit. And I want you to worship him in spirit and in truth this morning. You got a bunch of stuff going on in your life, but let me tell you something. It will all pale in the presence of Christ. There's not one thing he cannot accomplish in your life. But it's when we recognize him, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Come on, let's worship him. Just step right into his presence. Come on, just this last time. Come on, step right in. Step right in. Come on, sing, sing, sing to Jesus.
My provider.
Ah, my Lord, you are so good, faithful.
Jehovah.
Shandai.
My Prince of Peace, Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Come on, come on.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jesus. Shotorabae
tararama.
You are our provider, Jesus.
Jehovah. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom.
You are
my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Yes, 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 yes.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Oh, one more time.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, talk to him right now. Just start thanking him for who he is in your life. You know, the one thing I have found for sure, the presence of God loves to flood where we worship. He said, I look to and fro to those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. And I always say to God, you don't need to look any further, God. We're right here. Come on, we got you, Jesus. I know they're worshiping literally all over the world right now. But I want to make sure he hears us. Because right here in the middle of this cornfield, there are a bunch of folk who love him. Amen. How many of you love Jesus this morning? I don't think I can hear you. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Can you do it one more time? How many of you love Jesus this morning? Now listen, if I said how many of you love the Buffalo Bills, I might even get a louder cheer than that. But I said, how many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell five people, I love Jesus. Come on, say it with conviction. I love Jesus. Turn to the person behind you and say, good morning, you look just marvelous. Come on, if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Can you turn to the person on your right or your left and smile at them and say, Jesus loves you. 30 seconds, 30 seconds, come on. We're called the family of God.
It is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Four, three.
Da-da. 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 Da-da.
Hey, guess what? Our next water baptism is coming up August 26th. We're having it for both 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. If you want to sign up, you want to be baptized, you can do that. Go right to the hub, right in the foyer, or go online, histabernacle.com/baptism, and sign up today.
Do you know what next month is? We have marriage encounter.
No, we changed the date. It's now November 8th through the 10th.
The total cost for this encounter is $425. You want to make sure you make your first deposit as soon as possible so that way you can secure your spot.
Hi, family. I'm here to share about the healing journey and what it's done in my life. It's taken me from bitterness to contentment, from victim to victorious, from fear and insecurity to trust and faith. As a result of the healing I received while taking this class, I was able to fulfill a lifelong dream to write and publish a children's book. If you are desperate for healing in your mind and intimacy with the Lord, take the healing journey and begin your journey on Trust Trail.
Awesome. Well, we want to welcome you to the house of God this morning. Isn't God powerful? Man, I love that we're surrounded by believers that know that God is powerful and are willing and ready to let Him move in their lives. So we are so blessed. If you are guests in the house this morning, we are so excited to be with you, to get to know you. If you would raise your hand, we have a gift for you. We'd like to bring a packet around to you. We have guest hosts that are moving through the crowd right now. And then before you leave today, make sure that you meet us out at the tent right as you're leaving the building, because we just want to be able to meet you. We are a relationship church. We would also like to welcome our live stream audience today. God knows no bounds or limits. We love you. We are so excited about you partnering with us in our worship for the King and in our study of the Word today. We are blessed. We would also like to let you know about a couple important things that are happening. As of August 21st at 7 p.m., we will begin a Next Step class. Everybody say Next Steps. This is a Next Step 2 class. And we will be learning about end times. We are in the end times. Don't you want to know what you're participating with right now? Ignorance is not bliss, so make sure that you come out for that end times class. Also, if you have not gotten involved with a group, in Acts, the Christians actually met daily in one another's homes. They broke bread together. They had fellowship together. Pastor Andrea and I were talking earlier just about the Word, and I love when you get together with one another. You just can't help but to talk about how good Jesus is. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So make sure that you go to the Hub and you get involved in a group. I would like to turn it over to Pastor Rhonda, who's going to bless us with the tithes and the offerings.
Amen. God's presence is so good, isn't it? You know, I love this time of the service. Pastor Spencer was yelling on the side. I wasn't sure if he was talking to me. I love this time of the service. It's not something that I shy away from because it's the Word of God. Our giving is so important to talk about. It's easy if we don't talk about it every week for it to become a religious thing that we do. And then we forget about the power and the impact of our tithe and our offering. And we never want to forget that it's not a ritual thing. The tithe is holy to the Lord. It belongs to Him. And in Malachi 3, near the end of the passage, it talks about how they talked one to another about their giving. We need to stir up excitement every single day, not just wait for Sundays, to stir up our excitement about our giving. It has impact on our entire lives. It has so much impact, we need to warrant more and more time talking about money. It is one of the number one topics that Jesus Himself spoke of in the Word of God. So don't shy away from talking about God's kingdom finance. Don't shy away from it in church, and don't shy away from it in your personal lives. When we share one to another about the giving, it keeps it exciting in our lives. It keeps the power of the tithe and offering so fresh in our mind. Testify about what God's done. I just received testimony this morning of someone that had been a faithful tither and believing God for a specific job. And week after week, they come in and I say, this is the week, right? This is the week. And this morning, this was the week they got that specific job. So we need to talk one to another. If we don't talk about it, we forget about its power. What we are doing is not just throwing money in a plate. We are giving back to God what is His, and His word promises He will open up heaven on our behalf. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. you give your tithe, stand to your feet. We're going to give it remembering the power that is behind what we are doing. Not forgetting, never forgetting the power in our giving. It pleases the Lord. It is obedience to His word. It opens up all sorts of things. I'm looking forward to hearing your testimony of what God has done in your health, in your family, and in your finances through your obedience to His word. So if you'll repeat with me, this is simply the word of God, Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. I have to give it a little bit more time. I have to pause on that storehouse portion. He can't bless your storehouse unless you have a savings account. So if you don't already have a savings account and being a good steward over your finances, there's no way for Him to come down from heaven and open up a storehouse savings account for you. So we've got to be faithful stewards of our giving for God to bless that storehouse. All right. So anyways, let's get back to the Word of God. Blessed in my storehouse. Blessed in my basket. All the blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button. Give right along with us or even text to give.
I feel I'm praising Him.
I feel like praising Him.
Oh,
He's been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him.
I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like doing my dance.
I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him.
16, praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Aren't you glad we can bless God? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Can you pinch the person next to you and make sure they have some breath left in them? Then let's do this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Okay.
Amen. We are so blessed this morning. Oh my goodness, if you only truly comprehended, and I pray you do. One of the things is that we don't bring just speakers to the house. I only bring those that are going to leave deposit and impact on the house. And this morning, we have a general. Now, for many, many years, I've read his books. For many years, I remember actually when I was in our last church back in 1993, I had a man who learned under him, Brother Avanzini, come and do ministry at our small church up in Newfield. I would never have ever thought I would have had the honor and the privilege of having him in our own sanctuary right here in Horseheads, New York. Last year, he was able to come, and this year, he not only has come, but has brought his beautiful bride, Ma Pat. Can you give Ma Pat a hand clap this morning? She was doing ministry with the pastor's wives last evening, the minister's wives last evening, and what a tremendous honor to have Ma Pat with us. And she pastored a church as well as traveled with her husband and for many, many years. How many years did you travel? 33 years with Brother Avanzini traveled. She pastored for 8 years, is that correct? Pastored her own church for 8 years. And, you know, I was thinking, well, that's good. She pastored a church. But when you saw, if you ever get it, my wife actually showed me a picture of that church. Oh, my goodness. And it was completely paid off. I'm believing, God, we're going to be able to pay this building off. Amen?
Yes.
I'm believing, God, that we can pay this off and have no debt. How many of you know that debt is a curse?
Here.
We don't want debt. We want God to bless us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. And so this morning, what a phenomenal honor for me to introduce to you Brother John Avanzini. If you could give him a hand clap and just let him know how much we appreciate and receive what
wow.
God has.
Glory. Thank you, Pastor. Woo! Wow. Let me look at you. Remain standing with me a moment. You know, God doesn't live in a palace. God lives in his people. And beautiful for situation is the city of our God. Now, I just a little grammar. Help with some grammar, okay, and pronunciation. I want you to tell that person near to you that Brother John thinks they look real, but not watch nice. Don't not nice. Nice. Tell him Brother John thinks you look real. Nice. Nice. All right. Oh, brought a tear to my eye. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, 64 years ago, I was 17, I think. Pat, you were 16. When I went over to this town, man said, you know, over in that city, we were riding in a car. He said, the prettiest girls in Texas are. I said, well, why are we going this way and not that way? So I went and I got me one of those pretty girls. Come on, baby. Come on up. We'll say a word. Give me a microphone for her. Got a microphone for her? Sister Pat.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are the privileged ones today to be here in your wonderful church. Oh, you're awesome out there. Awesome. But you know what? You've got awesome pastors.
Yes.
Whoa. Yes. Yes. I really believe Pastor Michael could dance, don't you? I've seen that. And look at those socks. My goodness. Whoa, whoa. Well, a lot of things I could say, but... I really want to put a little nugget in you. Is this okay? Just a quick one. I don't want to take my husband's time. Last night at the pastor's meeting, I let them ask some questions. And this was a most excellent question this lady asked. She asked, why is it that, you know, the evangelist comes in and he tells you all about this, but then he goes and he doesn't tell you how to bring it about. And so she wanted to know about why is it sometimes people will have such faith and they'll plant this seed, but it's really for the bills. And they're thinking, well, I'm going to get all of that back. And that seed's been planted, and then it doesn't come real quick. Doesn't come. What did Sister Rhonda say? She said in the third chapter, after bring all your tithes into the storehouse, she said, and they talked one with another, the word says. You know why sometimes our seed doesn't come up? We don't get the harvest? This is what I think. I believe this in my heart. Seeds bring forth fruit at all different times. Say a lettuce. If you plant lettuce, it comes up right away. You can have a salad very quick. But if you plant a carrot, a beet, or one of those items, one of those vegetables, it doesn't come up right away. And you know why sometimes it never comes up? It's because the words of our mouth. We go back and we dig the seed up. Or we say, it doesn't work. You know what? Don't do that. Because God's word is true. If you plant a seed, it will come up. Water it, weed it, and you will get a harvest.
Thank you, Sister Pat. Hallelujah. It was a great privilege to be here with you this last time. I did not at that time understand exactly who you were. I come back. Pastors told me about the plans and the outreaches that you have. You know, there's a truth that you need to catch. Now, most of you don't know this, but the gospel is not free. Salvation is free. Gospel, the story about salvation, the postage is due every morning. Amen? So we have to know that. Please know this also. If you ever see a saved person, you know two things happened. One, Jesus died for their sins. And number two, somebody spent some money. Because the gospel does not go by with franking privileges. It has to be paid every time a step is made. Glory to God. Well, this morning, I had several other scriptures I was going to talk to you about. So those that are keeping up with the scriptures that we're going to be using, I want to move to 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 6. We're going to look at the Amplified. Let me say this to you. We know the Bible says that the word has seed time and that seeds have seed time and harvest. And we know that the word, Jesus said the word, a sower sows the word. And then you see the different soils and it comes forth. So seed time and harvest power was given by God to the word. But then also seed time and harvest power has been given to money paid into the kingdom of God. Quickly looking at this verse, that is why in 2 Corinthians 9, 5 and 6, that is why I thought it necessary to urge these brothers to go to you before I do to make an arrangement in advance for that bountiful promised gift of yours. They're taking an offering at this time for the saints in Jerusalem so that it may be ready, not as an extortion wrung out of you, but as a generous, willing gift. Remember this. Now watch. He's talking about a gift. We're talking about an offering. And then the Apostle Paul, he says, remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He now takes, as the offering is being taken in this Corinthian church, he says, now here is what's happening. Seed time and harvest power is attached to finances put into the kingdom of God. Now, please understand there's different kinds of money. Money moves all over the city. But once money comes into the house of God, once a person identifies their money with the house of God, it picks up another dimension. It now has seed time and harvest power. Watch what he says. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he that sows generously will bless, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously with blessings. The 10th verse. And God who provides seed to the sower and bread to eat will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing. Now, are you picking up what I'm trying to say to you? We're going to have to move rapidly. I have a number of scriptures I want to share with you. I'd like to leave you today where you could go to a Bible college and teach most of the professors what the Bible says about finances, because they know absolutely nothing up there. When I went to the seminary, but I want to talk to you today about hiding in plain sight. Hiding in plain sight. It's amazing, as we read the scriptures, our traditions decide what we're going to understand as we read it. And you have to be careful, because there is something more powerful than the Word of God. I'm not a heretic. There is something more powerful than the Word of God. It's your traditions, because your traditions can make the Word of God of no effect. You have to understand, traditions are difficult to deal with, because the people that loved us the most gave them to us. And when we have to release a tradition and move into a truth, we find ourselves struggling with a relationship of someone that really cared about us, that dropped that into our life. But the truth is, someone dropped that into their life. And we want God to be true and every man a liar. We want to be people of the Word, teaching what God's Word says. Now, we have five or six we want to look at incidents in Scripture to where there is, you've all heard messages on it. They're preached everywhere, all across television, everywhere you go. But there is seed time and harvest principles that operate the Word of God. You see, God said that the Word is a seed. Gets in this kind of soil, that kind of soil, different things happen. You have to understand that we are not into gospel magic, but we're into gospel miracles. And miracles are not haphazard. They're not random. Miracles function in a procedure. And also, seed time and harvest. Now, I took a picture outside here last time I was with you. The corn was this tall, and it was just as white as, it was just, looked like it was dead. Here's something to remember about seed time and harvest. There's a season before harvest. It's called stalk time, and it looks like the whole thing died. How beautiful your green corn is here? They don't pick it then. How beautiful your green corn is here? That's not the time. But then it looks like it died. And then they come, and each ear brings forth abundance into your hands. Are you grasping what I just said? So one of the principles of seed time and harvest is you must identify seed time and not open your big mouth and kill the whole harvest by saying it's died. Amen. You follow what I said to you? Now, as we look at these, I'm just going to bring you some basic truths of seed time and harvest. And as you see things that you have heard so many times, but all of a sudden you see woven into it, is this seed time and harvest principle. And everything in the Word of God operates as a seed. Even Jesus was a seed. He was planted and died and rose again and brought forth much fruit. All across the Bible, you'll find seed time and harvest. Let's begin with a man named Solomon. And in 1 Kings 3, verse 3 through 5, says Solomon loved the Lord and followed all of his father David's instructions, except that he continued to sacrifice in the hills and to offer incense there. The most famous of the hilltop altars was in Gibeon. Now the king went there to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings, and the Lord appeared unto him that night and told him, ask anything you wanted, and it will be given to you. Now, please watch this. We hear this taught, but little do we bring, it doesn't come to our attention that only one sacrifice was required. All that was required that day when he came there was one lamb, but he brings 1,000. Now, please understand this. There's a truth in seed time and offering. The size of an offering influences the response. Oh, Brother John, I don't like that. You shouldn't say that in church. Well, then you'll just take a pair of scissors, cut 2 Corinthians 9, 6 out, because it said, this I say, he which soweth sparingly, reaps sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So the size of an offering, but please watch, not what your offering means to me, but what your offering means to you. Value is not set by what anyone else thinks about your offering except you. If it was nothing to you, it'll be nothing to God. But if it was significant to you, it will be significant to God. Now take another minute real quick. Did you know that God can't set value? God can't set value on anything because he owns everything. Everything is his. How do you set value on something it belongs to everyone? I mean, everything he has is his. How does he set a value? How would you sell a cow to God? What price would you put? And by the way, while you're at it, you have to realize the cow you're trying to sell him, it belongs to him. God sets value by what you think of the offering. By what you think of the offering. Remember the woman, she came, and I don't want to take too much time, but the woman came at Zarephath and brought him water. Did you know water was the most valuable thing in the land that day? He just took a drink, prophet, put it down. But then there was a little cake, but it was her son's last meal. The water was valuable, but the cake was precious. And when the precious moves, God moves. Are you following what I just said to you? You make the decision of what your offering is. And sometimes people that have much will give much, and they'll think, well, that's a great amount. But see, many times God doesn't look at what you give, but he'll look at what you have left after you give. And time again, the little waitress and her bricklayer husband will give more than some millionaire that's in the church. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? God does not establish value on anything. You set the value. How does it mean to you? That's what it'll mean to him. Is it okay for me to talk like this? Are you okay with that? All right, but now watch what happens. This man's brought 10. Acts 10:28 says all he had to bring was one. But as charismatics, people filled with the Spirit of God, God speaks to you, doesn't he? Have you ever noticed he'll come and he'll tell you something to do? But what happened? What was different here? This was a significant offering. And that night, one of the most unique verses in the Bible takes place. And it says in that fifth verse, God said to Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you. The same night, God comes, the God that usually has something for you to do, and he asks Solomon, is there anything I can do for you? Now, don't get upset with me because I did not write this book. I get in a lot of trouble about telling people what's in it, but it says that a significant offering. And you know what the word significant means? One of the definitions is something that draws attention. Something draws attention. It's significant. It's different than the things around it. And when you bring forth an offering to God that is significant to you, it will be significant to God. And if it is a precious offering, a precious answer will come back from God, and he moves more rapidly sometimes than others. Is it okay to just teach what's in the book? If I don't teach what's in the book, I'll quit teaching. Think about this. Protocol. In Israel, protocol was very, very important. Jews never went in the house of a Gentile. You're aware of that, aren't you? I think it's even the 10th chapter of Acts, I think, says something about it, that Jews don't go into the house of a Gentile. But in Luke 7, 2 through 7, watch what you find here. It says, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Now, this man knows Jesus is not going to talk with him because the Jews have nothing to do with the Gentiles. They don't go in the house. They don't converse with each other. But he said, I'm taking the elders of the Jews, the leaders of the church, which Jesus listened to because he fulfilled all righteousness. He did not ignore the priesthood that was in effect at that time, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now watch this fourth verse. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly saying that he was worthy for whom you should do this, for he loved our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Now look at this, sixth verse. Then Jesus went with them. Child of God, please hear me. A significant offering moves the hand of God. And you people say, well, John, what about this money? But it's all this. Let me tell you what. My money is my life. I didn't inherit it. I started out as a bricklayer. I worked 10 hours a day in the Houston sun mixing mortar to start with. And when I got my money had been worked for. I had laid down my life, and they had given me a portion of the wealth of that city, and it was there for my time that I laid down. Your money is not a gift to you. Your money is part of your life you laid down. Oh, you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, watch this. If I take too long, what are we going to do? When I laid my life down laying those brick, right there, within a few hundred square feet, my life existed. But once that money came in my hand, now I had my life in a new dimension. My life was now omnipresent. It could be anywhere in the world that I wanted it to be. For instance, this morning in Nicaragua, 250 children, little hungry kids, are eating breakfast because Sister Pat and I are able to go with our finances to that place and pay for their breakfast. Are you understanding? Not clapping for the fact that we're doing it, clapping for the fact that it's possible to do. I am not bound any longer by the confines of my human body. If I can turn some of my human time into finances, I become omnipresent. I can move all over the planet. I can move forward and backward in time. If you've got a mortgage, every month you send money back to stop that mortgage from taking your house. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You think you're dynamic? Your finances are so much more dynamic than you are. And God says, if you'll start using it in the kingdom of God, I'll put as much of it in your hands as I can trust you with. I can't stop on all of these. I have to move ahead. But here we see a significant offering influenced the Lord to break protocol. Well, let's look at a principle giving. This is powerful. I'm going to give you now the 25-year shortcut. Okay, 25-year shortcut. Genesis 21, 1 and 2. How many know that for 25 years, from the 12th chapter to the 21st chapter of Genesis, Sarah and Abraham have believed that her womb would be opened? Believed that her womb would be opened. Okay, and 25 years, they come and say, Lord, I have no faith. Look at the dust of the earth. I'm giving kids like the dust of the earth. Okay, thank you, Lord. Lord. What is it, Abraham? It's 2 a.m. What do you want? There's no dust in my tent. I'm losing my faith. Flip the tent back. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. I'm going to give you children like the stars. Oh, Lord, how about Sarah and I and Hagar, we came up with this Ishmael. Could you use Ishmael for this? No, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to come for 25 years. But now watch this. This is amazing. 21st chapter, the first verse. Then the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. 25 years. But back up just two verses up into the 20th chapter, and look what it says. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his handmaidens and his servants that they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed all the wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah's, Abraham's wife. In the 20th chapter, in the last two verses, Abraham prays and the wombs are opened in Abimelech's house. The next verse, Sarah's womb is opened. See, Ephesians 6:8 belongs between those verses. It says whatever good thing you cause to happen for anybody else, God will cause that same thing to happen for you. Hiding in plain sight. It's right there and it's been there for thousands of years, but I've never heard it mentioned before. God dropped it in my spirit. But are you seeing what I'm saying? That principle of seed time and harvest, if there's something you need done in your life, start having it happen in other people's lives, and it won't be long until it'll be happening in your life. If you're needing tuition to college, and all you can give is a dollar to somebody that needs tuition to college, help them with their tuition. Help somebody else. And I'll tell you, if the Bible is true, something will start happening in the spirit world, and someone will come along and make it possible for that to happen for you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying to you? These principles of biblical economics, these principles of seed time and harvest, everything in the Bible moves and functions on those principles. Am I going too fast? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Everywhere you look, if you look behind the scenes, you see seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest. But if you understand that, you can put the jump on things that need to happen in your life. You can start it happening in the seed time and harvest realm, and the first thing you know, it'll start happening in your life. Wow, what a book we have here. It's great. Now, you know, every preacher, now watch this. Every preacher will preach about divine appointment that God made with Simon Peter. You remember when Simon Peter was sent to Cornelius' house? That was the first Gentile to ever hear the gospel. First Gentile. Now, how do you pick out of the millions, maybe millions and millions of Gentiles? Did they draw straws? How did they do it? Was it something with coupons or something? What, take a number? What was it? What was this? How did this thing happen? Well, let's look at the book. When you get to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, the first verse, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. You know, a memorial is that which keeps alive the memory of someone or something. There was offerings that were being given and prayers that were going up, and they constitute what God called a memorial that floats in the sight of God waiting for an answer. You see what I'm saying to you? It had something to do. It wasn't just eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which of these Gentiles are we going to pick? But it was something that started in the heart of Cornelius, and he put it in prayer, and he put his life on it. He put his finances in it, and it became significant, significant to God. And when it was time to choose, he chose that man, and seed time and harvest principle brought the gospel out of the hands of the Jews only into our hands as Gentiles. Anybody, are you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, we only have less than an hour, so I can't go to all of them. I'll just go to a few of these and show them to you. But the Bible functions on seed time and harvest, and most believers never get it. They never really, they catch it at offering time. But it goes every time, all day, things that you want, a contract that needs to be done. My goodness, make prayer, get some offering, put it up as a memorial before God. Well, you think it'll work? Well, if it's in this book, it'll work, or it would have been culled long ago. They'd have got it out long ago if it didn't work. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? Seed time and harvest Brother John, I'm just glad I got saved. Well, it was seed time and harvest. By the way, look. If you want to get over this hardness of, giving, if you want to get over this pain that between your hip pocket every time you go after your money, if you want to break that, I don't know, should I get into that? Let me move along. Anyway, the next thing we come to, a prophet sows the thing that he must receive. Now watch this. 1 Kings, we've all heard this. 18th chapter, 23rd, 24th verse. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. This is with the prophet Elijah, and he's now with the priests of Baal. Two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. All right, now the rules are set. No human source for the fire. No one's supposed to light the fire. If Baal answers, Baal is God. If Jehovah answers, Jehovah is God. Now Elijah prepares his altar, and we see that in the rest of Kings there, Kings 18, 31 through 35. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood, and he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, Fill the barrels with water, and pour it on the sacrifice on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And he said again, Do it again a third time. And they did it the third time, and the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. So now we're into the ready. It's time for this offering to be made. And God ignites that which Elijah has before him. 4,000 priests of Baal, 400 are put to death. And he goes out now for the rainstorm that he's promised. 2.5 years of drought. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In Bible college, they taught me that the water was on there to assure that there were no tricks pulled, that no one was, you know, slipping a match under. No possible way. Drenched with water. Now watch this. Can you imagine in a 3.5 year drought someone pouring 12 barrels of water on an offering and 6 gallons of seed? What does the Bible say? Whatever man sows, that should also reap. The miracle is not Elijah's faith to keep sending the guy up on the top of the hill. Do you see a cloud? No cloud yet. Keep looking for a cloud. Head down. Boom, boom, pray. Faith, 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 faith. No, no, no. It's a seed time and harvest principle. In 2.5 years of drought, people have eaten up all of the seed almost. Now he puts seed on the altar. He puts water on the altar. And what he sows is what he reaps. Are you grasping what I'm saying? It's a wonderful story about this guy going up and down the hill seven times. And a little cloud inside the man's hand. But the truth of the mechanics of it is biblical in the fact that the word is like a seed. And he speaks words, but he also puts on an altar. He puts forth this display of water. Water, the most valuable thing. He puts it on there, and God's attention is drawn to it. Is that crazy? It's in the book. It's in the book. Why did he put the seed in there? Why did he put the water in there? Come on, let's just have a contest. It's between two teams. Go, 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 team, go. Your Christianity started with the principle of seed time and harvest. And your Christianity will continue. Now, I was going to tell you a while ago, listen to it. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he was, oh, Lord, is there a plan B? Is there a plan B? I don't want to go on a cross. Blood's falling out of his brow. You know, if he'd have gone to the cross like that, it would not have saved us. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, how can you be cheerful when you're looking at this? It's getting ready to happen. You know when he got cheerful? He lifted his eyes off of the price, and he looked at the prize. The 12th chapter of Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. If you've got trouble giving, quit looking at what you're given. You're locked in. You're unhappy. I can't turn this loose. I love it so much. And lift up your eyes and understand that it is just a decimal point of what God's ready to do in your life. Get your eyes off of the price. Get your eyes on the prize. And it gets easy to give. He said, and for the joy that was set before him. You know what the joy was? You were the joy. He looked through the corridor of time and he saw you and said, write her down, Lord, I'll do it. For that, I'll do it. The price, let's don't talk the price. Let's talk about the prize. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Well, let's see. Let's go on a lighter note. Lighter note. Say, Brother John, that's enough of that. Okay. Thank you for enduring my tirade about that. Let's get into something happy. How about Psalms 118:24? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You like that verse? Happy, happy, happy. This is the day the Lord hath made. Well, enjoy it while you can because it's a financial verse. David's not the least bit happy. Brother John, how can you say that? I've sang all my life, I'm singing it. This is the day. I'm coming out of my doldrums in the morning singing it. Well, let's see what it says. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. 25th verse. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. David needs money. He says, Lord, you're making this day. There's still 18 hours in it. You got time to make me a miracle. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, send prosperity. I need some money. God, I need some money. Don't tell me you haven't been like it. I've walked around my room, door shut, just screaming to God about money. I need some money, God. You remember what it looks like, don't you, God? I about forgot what it looks like. I'd have some money. Well, here we have it. Are you picking up on what I'm trying to say to you? Hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. Seed time and harvest, if it's the word, that principle is somewhere in there working for you. And let me say this. It took a boy. 18, what we were 18 when sister and I got married. 18 years old, I was out mixing mortar in that hot Houston sun, 10 hours a day. Had to go back to high school a half a year because I failed half a year. My IQ was, they kind of said, well, maybe you had a bad morning. Yeah, you know, maybe you're tired. Maybe you didn't sleep good last night. I'm saying, hey, come on, what are you saying? I said, well, you're average. Well, at the far end of average. Did you ever wonder why they tell you that? Have you ever run across your IQ score again? I think it's just to discourage you, to stop you from thinking you're a genius, because even in that state, I thought I was a genius. And here it is, IQ. Well, today, my retirement's funded totally. My children's have an inheritance coming. No matter how long I live, my children will, and my children's children. Well, Brother John, what did? Did you inherit some money? No. My wife and I helped Mom in the last years with things in her finances. But the principle of seed time and harvest, the principle of seed time and harvest has taken us step by step and every step a miracle until we never have to say no to God again on a financial matter. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? Why is God? Why do we talk finances? Why do we talk seed time and harvest? God has plans. I got to tell you right now, if you folks would just, the last time I was here, so many of you committed to tithe, and I left and I thought, when I come back, there's just going to, things are going to, the financial burden will be out of the way, and this cornfield will be covered with all kind of activities going on. Child of God, it only comes to bless you and to spread the gospel. And to spread the gospel. Listen, money. I'll give you another thing about your money. Did you know your money has powers that you can't even imagine? Did you know that once you put a penny in the gospel, it never stops talking? Look at Hebrews. You don't have that number. Please look at it. I'm sorry. If I run out of time, just come up and tap me on the shoulder, sir. Hebrews 11. Every penny you put in the gospel, every penny you put in the gospel never stops talking. It's a chatterbox once you put it in the gospel. Fourth verse, by faith Abel offered unto God, Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's still talking. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Pastor, how do we stop the time? How do we stop the time? Listen, you get your money, okay? Do you know where that dollar bill's been? Listen to me. It's got narcotics on it. If it's out there a week, it has narcotics on it. Prostitutes have handled it. Perverts have handled it. Child pornographers have handled it. And then you bring it home, and you just pass it out to your kids. Your daughter, she slips it into that private place where she keeps a few dollars. Listen, if spirits can get on a handkerchief, don't think they're not crawling all over that money when you pick it up. How do you do with it? Well, the Bible says it's not the gold that sanctifies the altar, but it's the altar that sanctifies the gold. I circumcise every dollar I get. Put 10% of it in the kingdom of God, and then I've got kingdom money. Then I've got kingdom money. That kingdom money knows how to watch out for me. If I'm buying tires and they're getting down, there's a blemish in that tire, an angel will give him a bump down two more tires and he'll get my tires. Is anybody picking up what I'm saying? Kingdom money. And it's taken me from chopping mortar with a hoe to driving the best and living in the best, glory to God, and having the best. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? Brother John, I don't like to talk about money like that. Let me tell you, if you ever get seed time and harvest working in your finances, you won't talk about anything else. It's the most marvelous thing in the world to see the hand of God in your pocket, not taking money out, but putting money in. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's look at it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. 26th verse. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now watch. God is the Lord, which has showed us light, seed time and harvest. Bind the sacrifice with horns, even with cords, even to the horns of the altar. David said, I need some money, Lord, and I need it quick. And by the way, somebody name me a long-term miracle in the Bible. All the miracles in the Bible like that. Eyes open, ears open. People raising. You follow what I'm saying? We stretch it out. Well, maybe it'll be a month. Well, don't get impatient. Maybe it'll be 3 months. You can talk it out there, but I'm telling you, God can work quick miracles too. He works it for David. David said, this day isn't finished yet. You hadn't finished creating this day yet. You got plenty of time to create my miracle in that day. And by the way, Lord, I'm sacrificing right now. I'm putting my finances, I'm putting the offering on the altar. Are you catching what I'm saying? Okay, one more thing. This God just dropped in my spirit the last few days. I've taught this for 40 years, and he just dropped in my spirit. You know, in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, remember the Shunammite woman? She built a little cabin on the wall for the prophet, and she put a bed in there, remember? Time passes, and her little boy dies. Now, her seed was that little room that she built. Are we together on that? That's a seed she planted. And that bed was a seed, and the furniture around the room was a seed. But when the boy died, she picked him up and carried him and laid him on her seed. Are you understand what I said? She put him on that bed. That was a woman's seed. She sowed that into that prophet's life. And now there in this most traumatic moment of her life, she's got a good seed in the ground. And she lays that problem on her seed. If you believe this book, I would not go very far without a significant seed that as my problem comes over the horizon, or as my problem rises up out of the mailbox, or as my problem comes through my job, whatever it is, that I can't take that problem and lay it on a significant seed. Say, Lord, I am not just another person. I am one of your chosen. I am one of your seed sowers. And Lord, I have a significant seed, and I lay that problem on that seed. Are you picking up on what I just told you? That woman laid her problem on the seed. And instead of having that boy on a cooling table that night, she had him at the dinner table. Glory to God. Are you getting what I'm saying to you?